It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 742. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also Facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at MikeTechShow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. And you can also go directly to InstantHouseCall.com. Download the trial, enter the promo code, and you will love playing with this great remote control software. I have a busy show lined up. I am broadcasting from Florida, and I want to talk a little bit about that because there's a couple challenges and some things I've been able to resolve, actually, since I actually put these notes together. I have stories from the trenches. We're going to talk about AutoFi. The new Edge browser freaking some of my clients out. A weird Freedom Voice phone issue with my phone here in Florida. We're going to talk about VPN PPT problem that I was able to solve. A hardware issue that mysteriously resolved itself. And many users wanting to improve their Wi-Fi. So we're going to get into a couple solutions for that and some quotes that I got to put together. All right. So let's begin with some of the broadcast challenges. I have a hollowness to the sound. And one of the things I know will make it better is adding curtains to the window behind me that you see in the recording. I need sound-absorbing acoustic panels. And I seen a good panel with good ratings. I've been looking at a lot of different reviews. And each panel, I believe, is $59. I need four of them. And if I put two on one side and two on the other in front of my monitor against the wall, so it won't look too bad. Anybody visiting or coming in, it's not like I'm going to have a lot of visitors here in the office, but it's going to sound better. And that's what I need, that sound to go even better. Now, here's the thing. I received 10 emails, and I thank you, after the show on Sunday, telling me that my sound is better than the sound in Pennsylvania, which is amazing because I've spent significantly less money here on the mixer and microphone and nothing else. And I got like $4,000 worth of audio gear to produce the show that I've been doing for the last 15 years. That's amazing. So thank you. And it's the only way I, just like the chat room helping me with my audio video, I want to get it really good. So just, you know, as I follow up, I didn't answer someone. Tony in the chat, I think, asked me, the Logitech camera that I'm using right now, if you are interested, and I need to get to Device Manager because I don't know the exact model. And what I'm going to do is look for my, let's see, where is that? Image devices. It is the Logitech HD Pro Webcam C920. I believe I have the C930E in Pennsylvania, and this is the C920. I am so glad a couple years ago I invested into these two webcams. Now, for years, I used the Logitech Orbit, where that resolution wasn't good and I was just lazy. These cameras were sitting off to the side. So when I went to Twitch, that's when I increased for better, a little better quality. And I had these cameras just laying around. So I hooked them up. This was the camera that I had pointed at the mixer in Pennsylvania. And now it's my main camera right in the center monitor of the three monitors. So hope that helps. And one of the things I've been able to resolve, you heard the intro tonight. I have my Microsoft Surface Pro right in front of me below the first main screen. And I already had the cable. I'm so glad I brought it with me. I have the 3mm to the 1/4-inch inserts for the mixer. I already had a nice long cable that I was able to just put that in. I have SoundBite running on my Surface Pro, so I can do the drop-ins now and have the music. And if I have music to play within the show, I can do that. So here we go. Wanted that update. Again, another stressful Thursday today as appliance broke last night and I had to spend hours on the phone with Frigidaire for my dishwasher and a text coming out on Monday. I had two other people scheduled to come out to do things today that didn't come out. And I can't even get a hold of the one. And the other person rescheduled for tomorrow. But it's very frustrating when you block out your time and you know how it is. And there's someone from a service company or somebody that's, you know, going to do something. And it just gets stresses. You got to call them back and you got to, oh, what a mess. But it's getting better as each day goes, you know, I'm taking these things more in stride after last week. So things are definitely on the uptick and we are doing well. My wife today took off and I knew I would be in my office all day. I had my B&I meeting today. I had a couple other conference calls. I was meeting with all these service providers that were supposed to come today that didn't. Then I have my show. My wife has spent all day at the beach. So this is why we're here. So we're basically where we are in Florida because my wife loves the sandy white beaches of Clearwater Beach and Dunedin Beach. And there's nothing like it. And this is on the coast side of Florida. I love the Phillies. Now, of course, this is, you know, there's with everything going on, we hope that they return to spring training. They're going to try to open up baseball, I know, later this month. But I'm hoping that eventually things will get back to normal and that I will be down here for watching the Phillies for spring training. And the weather, there's nothing like it in the spring down here and the winter. So that's the main thing. We're tired of the cold. So when it gets really cold and really vicious, that's when we head down to here. And, you know, someday retire here. That's the plan. So let's get to stories from the trenches because I continue to work a lot remotely. My son manning the fort up in Pennsylvania, and he's been busy. So knock wood, it's been very good. So the first story is QuickBooks and a syncing program called AutoFi. Now, this program syncs data and lots of things to Salesforce. It keeps all your apps in sync with each other. Data like inventory counts, customers, shipment tracking numbers, and invoices. So it's an important program that all of a sudden stopped syncing for one of my clients. And here's what we had to do. In order for this to work, and I'm going to have a link to what this app is because maybe you support QuickBooks and there could be some things that, you know, a client may ask you for integration into any kind of e-commerce systems or Salesforce and you have something to recommend. So this program, you have to be an administrator of QuickBooks. So that's the big problem. And you have to switch to single user mode. So that was the key. Once I started reading up on this, when my client complained that it stopped syncing, I logged into the workstation that this runs and I made sure, the first thing I did, the reason why it wasn't working was the administrator was logged in remotely on another system. So I had to go kill his session, make sure, I mean, I, of course, I made sure he was not using it. He just stayed logged in and didn't log out. Then I logged in as administrator in QuickBooks, changed to single user mode, because while this is happening, this sync, you cannot have anyone else accessing the QuickBooks database. So once I did that, I clicked resync, no errors. Everything's looking really, really good. So I had to take care of that, and then I documented that procedure for my client. We're getting more and more calls on the new Microsoft Edge browser, because now Microsoft, they're in full rollout mode, shoving it down the throats of users, whether they want it or not. But I have some older users that when you move them from Edge to now this Chromium version of Edge, which is just the Microsoft version of Chrome, it confuses them. They're so used to, maybe we just got them like a year or two ago, got them hooked on Edge, and now they're updating it. And I have not seen that forced update, only because, well, I did see it with a client, because I embraced the new update just to learn it and be ahead of the curve. I wanted to know the features. I wanted to know how it looks, how it works. And I didn't want a problem when it came time for support. So I upgraded myself, but I watched this happen where you really don't have a choice the way Microsoft is forcing it in an update. They're just shoving it, ramming it down your throat, whether you want it or not. So given that, I have a couple links here. So the first one is introducing Microsoft Edge, and you got all the propaganda, but you need to look at this and you need to work with it. One of the biggest differences between this and Chrome, there's a tracking prevention that you can pick, basic, balance, or strict. And that's in the privacy and services section. So depends on the tolerance for privacy for your client. That's something that you're going to pick and be able to, you can't do that in Chrome. I recommend downloading it and using it only because Microsoft, you know, they're forcing it upon us. So a couple things. Can you stop Microsoft from installing it? Not really. So I take that back. Microsoft understands, this is a good link. And this is how from How To Geek. Microsoft offers a Chromium Edge update blocker toolkit that will set a do not update to Edge with Chromium registry value, ensuring PCs don't automatically download the new Edge. And what I'm going to do is put that in the chat room right now, and I'm going to keep that link. You know, I missed that, and I just see it now, and I want to make sure that everybody gets that link. Also, the main link from How To Geek, there's lots of great information here, and I'm going to go down to the differences, which is the new Edge versus Chrome. And the first thing I mentioned was that tracking prevention. And let's see, Windows 10 users who stick with the included browser will now have a more modern, capable browser with an open source rendering engine that's updated more frequently. That's the big thing that this reviewer in How To Geek mentioned, that Edge, I think, was only updated a couple times a year. This is going to get updated every quarter and even more frequently than that. So, just because it's updated, I don't know how good that is, but take a look at this link and check it out to see the differences, understand how this new version works so you're armed with your clients. Now, I don't have anybody that I really have to deploy that do not install. I'm going to just let this happen. And then as clients call in that need help, I have my son scheduling training on how to use it. And of course, if they are a non-retainer client of their break fix, that's all billable for teaching them some of the nuances of the new Edge browser. And as a matter of fact, I think yesterday my son had an hour training session with someone and we have a couple more scheduled. So just something you can take advantage when Microsoft does something like this. Okay, turn it into a paid training session to teach the users how to better use what Microsoft's forcing us to use. All right. So all of a sudden the other day, my Freedom Voice handset stopped working. I had to call tech support. They sent an update that they couldn't see it, then they could see it. My internet was perfect, but it was having trouble syncing to the servers at Freedom Voice. So I still don't know if this was a Freedom Voice issue or was it the phone issue, but things started working except for one weird problem. This is part of the simultaneous ring. We have two handsets in the office in Pennsylvania. This handset will ring the same time those two up in Pennsylvania, which works really well because my son is scheduled to leave at 3 every day. And of course, some days he stays later because of working with a client or if he's off site, you know, doing something. But yesterday he left at 3 and I had two phone calls after that that I was able to take care of here. I heard my phone ring. I was like, ooh, let me head to the office here and answer, take care of my clients. My son cannot call my extension. So let's say I'm extension 802 and he's 801. I can call 801, no problem. He can't call 802. Now, what he can do is each handset has what they call a direct dial number, a DID, and that he can call with no trouble. But it's just a lot of extra work dialing the DID number, which is a full 10-digit number, as opposed to 3 digits for the extension. I have no reason, no rhyme or reason why that is, and it's just a weird problem. And if there's any Freedom Voice partners out there that hear this and you've ever ran into it and you might know the solution for me, boy, I'd really like that. And I'm going to put an email together to follow up with the support ticket that I had that they already closed on this issue. But anyway, I wanted to throw that out there, just a kind of a weird anomaly. It's not a showstopper. I'm just so glad that the phone works now because I was down for like half a day. And I don't know, enough reboots later and boom, it just started working. VPN, that's PPTP, that's point-to-point tunneling. And it's a specification that really came about in 1999 and was developed by a vendor consortium formed by Microsoft and Ascend Communications, which is now today Nokia and 3Com and others. PPT has not been proposed nor ratified as a standard by the Internet Engineering Task Force. And I'm reading this. It's a tunnel it's an encrypted tunnel to protect information from one point to another, and it's built into a lot of devices, certainly a lot of routers. I have a client that a very specific need for being able to view the cameras, and it's very specific software. And without giving anything away, let's say part of his business is managing the car wash that's automated. And there's lots of expensive machines. And of course, the two entries for the self-wash where they are taking, you know, credit cards and info. We have everything locked down and secured, but he has a lot of cameras. And I get a panic phone call this week. Actually, I believe Monday, and I was able to resolve this. He got a new iPad, and he was setting up to connect in so he can view the cameras. And no, this was Friday. This was before, that's right, because he was worried about the 4th of July and being able to manage remotely to be able to view the cameras to see if something's going on, and he'd have to head in to take care of it. And he didn't want this going beyond, you know, the holiday. He had to enter a secret key, and this was the problem. He forgot what the real secret key was. And so he logged into the settings of the router and started messing with the secret key. And that was the problem. Now, I had very good documentation. He reached out to me. I said, get me connected to your laptop that's connected to this private router. He gets his laptop. He connects in. I remote in with Instant House Call. And I'm able to go in and fix the secret key, which this key is the glue that makes everything work for you to be able to connect. And he had already called tech support and they had him messing with things. He just needed the right secret key. Because once we did that and we rebooted the router, it started working and he was able to get connected up. So that was really good. And I'm going to have a Wikipedia description of PPTP. Now, here's a mystery, and I'm sure everybody has run across this sometime. Client calls me. Every time they open up Outlook, the system crashes. And you get like a blue screen with the smiley face, the Windows 10 version of the blue screen. She sent me a picture of it. I said, look, pull the power plug. Wait a minute or two. Put the power plug back in, because sometimes updates get stuck and caught and there's a problem. And then start up the system and take a look. This fixes a lot of things. Now, she was able to log back in. Boom. Again, a problem. I'm like, all right. I said, can you get it to a point where you leave it on and I will fix Outlook? Because I believe that it is an Office problem. Now, they're Office 2010. And I'll just do a repair and let's see if that takes care of things. Maybe do a quick clean, run Adware Cleaner, or a couple things just to see what's going on that's causing this. Maybe it's a hardware problem. So I had my son scheduled for the next morning just in case to go out there, bring some RAM, bring a solid state drive because I knew this was a mechanical drive. Now I log in and it is slow. It takes forever to log in. I finally get Crystal Disk Info running, the portable version. It's all blue. Everything looks good. It doesn't lock up, but there seems to be another problem. I even try to run some Windows updates, and they're stuck at zero. They're not running. I'm like, this is definitely a hardware problem. This is a mess. I did nothing. I really did nothing to help repair this problem. We get an email in the morning to my son and I. Guys, whatever you did, it's running beautiful. I didn't do anything. It fixed itself all of a sudden. So I don't, there was nothing unusual running. I couldn't find anything that was going on. I don't know, but I'm ready for the shoe to drop. And I said, look, that's great that it's running. We'll cancel my son coming out. But what I want you to do is just keep us posted. We're ready to attack and see what's going on. I mean, I want to upgrade them to a solid state drive for this one system anyway. And let's see, but it was just, I wanted to share that because it was just very, very strange. I think that was Tuesday, and I just don't know why. One of the consistent items that keeps coming up for my son and I is Wi-Fi performance and getting better Wi-Fi. And especially now, if everybody working from home, you now have husbands, wives, kids just killing the Wi-Fi in their house. So again, my son's becoming a master at this. We really like the Asus AC1900. And if you get a couple of them, and the price is coming way down. As a matter of fact, I have to put two in a church, and I got to do a quote after I'm recording tonight. I have a lot of work tonight, actually. So we've been adding these devices, and for a couple users, they will buy them, and my son will remote in or walk them through programming because it's pretty easy. And one of the things I like about this is the air mesh capability within these routers to have them talk together and get better performance. But even if you don't activate that, naming, if you have the same devices and there's a roaming mode, and that's what I like about all the firmware with ASUS, and I've been using them for years, that roaming mode allows you to name all of the SIDs the same name. I want the 2.5 gigahertz the same name as the 5. And the same password. Do that across the devices. Your phone, your computer, your device will select the best channel and the best signal, whether it's 2.5, whether it's 5 gigahertz. Any modern device will pick the best one to operate from. And if you have AC, then you're going to be really where it combines everything to make a better signal, which I have happening all through my house here in Florida. It's running great, and we have tremendous Wi-Fi. So this is something we've been doing a lot of work. And there's another, now for businesses, there's another tech, you know, you hear the word mesh, and that's something where it's a mesh Wi-Fi system. It's designed to blanket your home or office with wireless coverage. Wi-Fi systems are a hybrid of sorts made up of several networking components. And there's a main router that connects directly to your modem and a series of satellite modules or nodes that you place throughout your house or throughout the office. I do that with Ubiquiti. And you share the same SID, the SSID, and password. So I hate range extenders. I don't think they work. And they communicate with the router via the 2.4 gigahertz and the 5 gigahertz radio bands. I want an Ethernet connection, Cat 6 line, going to each node from the router. There's no substitute for that. No, I know people try power line and all sorts of things. I'm not there. I want a real Ethernet hardwire line going to each of these nodes. Sprinkle the nodes around. Now, if you have a management device like Ubiquiti, then you can have the policy and set everything from one device, and it will broadcast and make the changes to the other devices. It's very easy to deploy. Or if you want to do it manually with devices like the ASUS routers that I do for small deployments, especially for homes, I have one home that was years ago that we actually have 6 deployed all over. And then when the new firmware came with the air mesh, we just invoked all that. And it's just a wonderful wireless network across, I think, 6,000 square feet of a very big home. And it works really well. So just wanted to sprinkle some ideas for you. If you're dealing with this with your clients, you must be, because I know I am, or maybe you're in this situation and you're like, you know what? I'm going to do that. As a matter of fact, the router that I use, I'll make an Amazon link and put it in the show notes for tonight for that very reason. So you could see what I like, because I actually got 2 more that I have to, do. All right. Here's a question from the chat. What about wireless printers in a system set up to manually use either 2.4 or 5 gigahertz signal, and the computer picks the opposite signal, then no printer communication? I never want to deploy Wi-Fi on a printer. As a matter of fact, if it's Wi-Fi only, I want my clients to take it back. I want a hard wire to every printer. I want them to uninvent wireless on printers, because you can still print wirelessly, but now your printer is wired. So now you're not wireless in both directions. You're only wireless in one. If your network, if you have a wired printer, and this is the confusion, and I know I've mentioned this many times, the confusion, and I would say 90% of my clients think that if they have an iPhone, that if they print, it has to be wireless. The printer has to be wireless. No. As long as the printer's on the network, and I know a lot of you understand this, but it's trying to break the barrier and get that through to your client. It's very difficult to get them to understand that. Now, a great example, if you look behind me, anybody on the video right now, and we're going to move aside, you'll see a printer. That's a new HP MFP printer. I needed a printer right away. I had to scan some documents. I had to print out and manually write info on some documents that had to go physical snail mail that were very important down here. Thank God Amazon has a major depot or warehouse or hub, whatever you want to call it, in the Tampa area, because I get incredible deliveries for Amazon. And this puppy was delivered yesterday morning at 8:30 a.m. And trust me, it was on the floor hooked up so I could print. Now, I have a little cart that came yesterday that actually my wife and I carefully assembled last night. And it was easy to assemble. I will put that link. I have to get some these links built. I'll put them in the show notes. But it's a nice, inexpensive, sturdy cart. I got this MFP printer on it. And that printer is wired because right underneath is the router. So if we can put the printer close to the router, that's an easy cable run. Not a problem. The only time that you don't run a cable is because you physically can't. It is impossible to run a cable. But then, how are you going to get on the Wi-Fi? If it's impossible to run a cable to that area, well, where's the access point that's going to give it the good coverage? I can't tell you how many people we run into for the first time that their computer is sitting on their desk and the printer's sitting right beside it, and they're communicating it via Wi-Fi. They're communicating to that printer. No. And maybe the router is like right there. No. We turn off the wireless. We run a cable to there. And if they have nobody else that needs to print to that, why aren't they using a USB cable? So that's acceptable, having a USB cable. It's acceptable to be able to have an Ethernet cable. Wi-Fi is not acceptable. If I went on a panel that we would debate this, I will win. So anybody that you're listening and you want to challenge me, do it. Because if I hear the right evidence, you can change my mind. But right now, I've been doing this for too long. And wired is always better than wireless, except if it's impossible to get a wire there. But for some miracle, you have good Wi-Fi, then yes, that's acceptable. But you have to have a miracle Wi-Fi connection. All right. Something that's bothering me about this HP printer, and it's brand new, and I also have the same problem with an HP printer that's a slightly different model, it's an MFP colored laser in my office in Pennsylvania. Now, I have a few printers there. How come it's, and I think this is Windows 10, I have not been able to get scan to network folder back to my computer here. Now, HP Smart works perfectly. And I have no problem with that. Where you get the HP Smart app and I can walk over, I can feed whatever I want. I come back to the app and I can run it and I can scan it and I can name it anything I want. I can put it and that works great. Why can I not scan to a network folder? I got the right credentials. I have the right permissions. I have an older monochrome only multifunction HP that I've been using for years and years, and I just love it. It is a workhorse. And I can go and scan back to my computer with no trouble. I go to this other computer, this other printer, and I can't scan back to my computer. Now, here's the funny thing. It can scan to the Synology that I have in the office in Pennsylvania. I don't understand. except the Synology at its core is Linux and it's not Windows 10. Anybody who can solve this mystery for me, I will hook you up with something. I promise, promise, promise. If you can solve the magic Windows 10 trick setting that gets this to work, I would be very grateful, because we run into this and we end up rolling out the HP Smart app for scanning. Now, I can even scan back to a computer. I have SMB1 enabled. So Dexter in the chat, that was a great suggestion, and that's exactly what I did last night. I'm not kidding, from 11 p.m. last night to 3 a.m., I spent 4 hours trying to get this to scan to a network folder, think everything humanly possible. Clearly, I'm missing something, but that, yeah, Dexter, that was about step 3 when I was like, that's it. It's SMB1. So how old's the printer? It's brand new. The model of the printer I have right now that I just purchased, and it's brand new. It's the Color LaserJet Pro MFP M479FDN, as in Nancy. FDN is very important because F is fax. I don't need fax here. I don't even have a phone line, an analog line. It's really DN. D is duplex. I always want to be able to automatically duplex if I want to. I don't want to have to change the sheets over and then have them go and then print on the other side. And of course, N is networking, which means you've got an Ethernet connection. So this particular printer has Wi-Fi, Ethernet, and USB. Now, Dexter just asked, does this involve your VPN to PA? Well, I don't even have a VPN yet to PA. I will, but right now, I just haven't had the time and the need right now. But Dexter, you are correct. I don't have a VPN here, but I will be setting it up where I have a VPN back to my Synology, because that's how I want to be able to get all my files and be able to access everything. That means I'd be able to access all my music directly, everything. So that solution, probably why I'm here, I can set that up because I can log in remotely and, you know, set that up with OpenVPN very easily. As a matter of fact, I talked about that a month or two ago, where I have clients that needed VPN capability and mapping a drive across the internet to their office Synology, and they need the same drive mapped that they are when they're in the office. So that's important. Best way to support the show is when I put these Amazon links together. If you want anything and you buy from Amazon, use our link. And I say our because it's Carrie Holzman and myself. We share an Amazon link for Tech Vets and for the Mike Tech Show, Carrie Holzman and myself. This is important to support the show. Click on the link before you buy and check out. So before you add them to your cart, click on that link. Your price stays the same, but a little piece, a little commission just comes back to us, and it adds up. It is really helping. That helped pay for the beasts. That really helps for the show and the support of the show. I can't thank you enough for that. And from Carrie and I, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for supporting the show. I want to thank Instant House Call. And please take a look. If you need any remote access, go to instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. Check it out. You will like it. Oh, Dexter just said, look for a firmware update. I did that, man. Thank you. That was a great idea. And yes, I recommend that for any printer. You're having any kind of an issue, check for firmware updates. That has solved problems for me in the past. So, man, the chat room's really thinking right now. And I really appreciate that. Let's see. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Son had to use that today for a project. And that is the software you need for transferring all your data and settings from one system to another. That's it. Thank you for staying subscribed and downloading and supporting the show. And I will see everybody back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.